excuse me for my voice, but I have never, never seen anything like it. On the road again.
Now, if we wanted to hit mailboxes, we could let Ralph drive. We're the best
of friends. Moron, your bus is leaving. Keep turning our way, and our way
is on the road again. Welcome to this Presbyterian edition of the On the Road Home podcast. This is Ken Crawford reporting to you sitting in traffic in San Francisco. Well, as expected, the Bears made easy work of Presbyterian, a 63-12 victory. The only blight on the Cal's performance in the final score was a pick six by Maynard on a misjudged throw that was very easy for the corner to get to, and then a blocked punt where the line was pretty porous, letting a guy through to block Anger's punt. And both of those touchdowns came directly off of the play, and neither extra point was good. So the Bears end up winning 63-12 due to those two errors, and it was every bit as easy as people would have thought. Some general thoughts on the game. I think probably the first thing to start off with is Tedford now being the all-time leader of wins at the Bears. Now, there's no doubt that is a significant accomplishment. To win 75 out of 116, I mean, obviously that's a very good win-loss record. One of the best in school history. Although it doesn't compete with the two greats, of course, with Pappy and Andy Smith. Both of them, I think, actually had the Bears at a higher level. But I think it was also during an era where California was more tuned and ready to be an elite program and didn't have some of the hurdles that Tedford has had to climb over. So there's no doubt he belongs in the elite category of Cal coaches, and I congratulate him on getting to the top of the win total list. But really, I mean, what can you say about a game like this? The Bears won. They were supposed to win. It was every bit as easy as it should be. It was very nice to see so many backups play. That was a definite good thing. And I'll speak some more about what I thought of each of those players. And we're 3-0, which is a great way to end your non-conference play. Heading into the conference, we only need to win 3 of our last 9 to be bowl eligible. Obviously, I think we all have higher hopes than that at this point, but that is the beginning of success, which is to be in a bowl game, and we're halfway there. So, you know, we avoided the game without any injuries. That's a very good thing, and there's really not much else to say from a general level. Maybe one comment on going for it on fourth down. The Bears actually went for it a lot on fourth down today, particularly once the game was out of hand. And I don't know, I'm a little worried that that wasn't the wisest thing to do from being generous to our cross-traveling opponents. Now, admittedly, a couple of them weren't really to increase the score. I mean, well, that really wasn't the goal at all. You know, it was to get Bridgeford some experience in the red zone and to see if we couldn't run out the clock. And there are a number of excuses of why we were doing it, but I don't know, it still felt like perhaps it was a little over the top to go for it so many times on fourth down. And by the way, our punt team could have used some more practice. So that was something I was a little bit disappointed with, but not in a big way. Moving on to other topics, just speaking in general of the game at AT&T, it was a nice experience, I must say. I'm definitely looking forward to after the renovation of Memorial to have the wider walkways, the better food, the better bathrooms. I mean, all of the things that we're so used to having poor facilities for at Memorial, much nicer to see them at AT&T. I mean, I liked my seats. as much as they were the cheap seats, they were pretty high up. I mean, we were in the second to highest row, but we had good visibility, good angles to the field, and you couldn't argue with it. A lot more leg room and width room than on the benches at Cal. I actually was pretty happy with my parking. I want to thank again the three Fatalistic fans for their willingness to donate me their donor parking. That was very generous of them. And definitely made life easier than having to search for a parking lot in San Francisco. Maybe one minor complaint, although I think this is just the status of things. It's amazing how expensive food is at modern stadiums. I mean, I bought 3 hot dogs and 3 sodas and practically spent $40. And people get so excited, ooh, the nice food. Well, you know, you want the chicken strips and some garlic fries and it's $17 or whatever it was. And I don't know. I tend to go the opposite direction. I say, I just don't want to pay that much for my food. And so I end up not being interested in all those nice options because they're so darn expensive. But I guess if people like it, who am I to complain? That's just the way it is. I'm a little fearful of what the environment will be like in the more important games later in the season. You know, it was not very loud today at all. The crowd wasn't engaged much at all. And yes, you can blame a lot of that on it being the Presbyterian game, but I don't know, something about the baseball-like environment just doesn't feel to me like it's a very raucous environment. It's a little bit too enveloping and enjoyable, if that makes sense. But maybe I'm overly concerned. You know, on the one hand, when the Bears played in the Emerald Bowl a few years ago, they were very loud, the crowd. So maybe it was just Presbyterian, but it is a minor thought in the back of my mind that perhaps we won't have the home field advantage from a crowd standpoint that we're used to having. And it was also a bit disappointing to see how empty it was, to see the donor sections in particular so empty. And it reconfirms for me that we set our pricing too high and had too many donor seats this year when we could have done a much better job of keeping the stadium full and probably bringing in almost as much revenue because of the additional seats sold. I mean, you make up for lower prices with volume, and when the stadium's half empty, and I have a feeling a number of the games the stadium will be pretty empty, you know, at least only 60-70% full, you're leaving money on the table, in my opinion. So that's disappointing to see, and I wish the pricing had been set a little bit lower, a little bit more friendly to people who, you know, could have gotten nice. I think a lot of people looked at where the cheap seats were and just weren't interested, but they weren't willing to pay as much as would be necessary to get the seats they wanted, so they didn't buy at all, and they're waiting till next year. And the final thing about the stadium, it sure is a beautiful environment overlooking the bay. I would not say it is very good for my sailing interests and keeping my budget in check. Sure makes me want to go out and buy a nice big sailboat and go for a sail, because just a beautiful day out there today to see the boats on the water enjoying themselves. Kind of like to be there myself. So, anyway, those are my thoughts for the stadium aspect of the game. But getting back to the game, you know, it really was a lackadaisical game, and you could definitely see it in the offense at times that they were playing lackadaisically. I think Maynard's pick six was, they had gotten into a lull and in a rut at that point in the game, and that's why that happened. You know, there's definitely some inconsistency in the offense, but I really give most of that to the fact that who we were playing and what the scenario was. It just was not very conducive to the Bears bringing intensity, and I have a feeling next week that will not be a problem. The defense, on the other hand, didn't let it bother them one bit. I mean, yes, it was only Presbyterian, but they had not given up a first down at halftime. They'd given up a total of 8 yards, with the last drive of the game, they'd given up 25 yards and one first down. There was also one penalty first down in the first half, but you know, they ended up being 48 total yards, but that was more than half of that came on that final minute while they were just grinding out the clock. The defense absolutely destroyed them. They had nothing going all day. 48 yards is an abysmal number. I don't care who you are. Really nice to see them playing so well, and really nice to see the second string and the third string coming in and continuing to play really well and never letting Presbyterian get anything going offensively. I mean, all of their points came off of special teams and defense, and that's a really good thing to see. So very good to see the defense continuing to perform at a high level even when it was such a substandard performance. Special teams were a lot more shaky, though. Of course, there was the blocked punt, and you know, I've been so critical of the rugby punts with anger. And, you know, one of the upsides of the rugby punt is that it's much less likely to be blocked. So, seeing a punt blocked when it wasn't going to be a rugby punt, maybe I understand a bit more why they're kicking rugby punts, that they're really not comfortable with their protection. And that really worries me. Hopefully they'll get that figured out, because if that's what they're doing, we just can't afford to be kicking rugby punts all season. I really hope the Bears find the answer, find the right players to be able to punt away. When you have such a great punter, it's a waste to not be able to. And I don't know, it's very disappointing to me. But such is life, and maybe I won't be so critical of the rugby punts in the future, because we sure as heck can't afford to have blocked punts left and right. Going on to now to some of the individual players, starting with the quarterbacks, Maynard had an okay day, threw 60% completion, 15 to 25. A little bit inconsistent again, got into a funk. The pick six, I actually think that was good experience for him to see how it happens. That's the first time he's had a pick where it really was a case of not seeing how quickly the corner can get underneath the ball or the safety or what have you. The other ones were truly mistakes on his part. You know, bad throw, that sort of thing. Where in this case, you know, he just didn't read the defense right and didn't see that. And seeing that once in a game that is not nearly as important is a good thing. So obviously a big mistake on his part, but one that I hope is a good learning experience. Of course, you know, being such a blowout game, he was out at halftime. Bridgeford came in and did not play all that great. He was only 4 for 10, but I saw the potential in him. I definitely saw how raw he is and how much work he's going to need to be ready to be a starter. But I do feel pretty good about the potential of him, based on the throws that I saw, based on the reads that he made. He's definitely a raw talent that needs a lot of refinement, and it's definitely now clear why Maynard won the starting job over him. So we'll just have to see how things go. Hopefully, we don't need to use a backup. It's always best to use your best QB, but those things happen, and generally speaking, I feel okay with Bridgeford being the backup. Manchin, although he was in for quite a while, we definitely were at the point where we were just handing the ball off. So he only got 2 attempts and was 1 for 2. His incompletion wasn't very pretty, but just such a small sample size, it's hard to judge anything about where he's at. And since he's the number 3 guy, I don't know that it's all that important. But so the key thing was getting to see Bridgeford as much as we did, and he's definitely got some things to work on. His accuracy wasn't great, but he was never horribly off. Maybe a little slow, didn't get the reads as quickly as he needed to, but overall I thought, again, talent there and a lot of potential. The other area where we got to see a lot of backups was at running back. And, you know, starting with the starter, E.C. Sofelli, you know, he didn't have a real good game today. I don't know if he wasn't trying very hard, and it wasn't just that the offensive line wasn't opening up holes for him. He just wasn't hitting the holes as hard. He wasn't slipping through tackles. He This was the worst of his three games, in my opinion, and it was pretty disappointing. The good news is the other players are coming along. C.J. Anderson had a pretty darn good game, continues to look as powerful and hard to stop as he did in the Colorado game, so I'm pretty excited about him. And then also we saw Bigelow come in and play. You know, he didn't get that many traditional run attempts. He had a lot of, you know, outside stuff where they threw it to him on the outside. And I think that says something about where he is experience-wise, that there isn't a lot of comfort with him reading the blocking schemes and all of that on the inside. But there's no doubt he is a fast guy with a lot of potential. You see a lot of Javid Best in him, the way he runs, the speed he has, the way he moves his hips, the acceleration he had on that kickoff return for a touchdown was impressive. The way he navigated through the defenders on the few times he had the ball, a lot of potential there. So I think all three of them are going to see a lot of playing time as time goes on. And to be honest, I'm okay with a running back by committee approach this year. I think there's enough different styles and enough power and enough speed and enough consistency that if the three of them are playing as a group throughout the season, our run game should be in pretty good shape. The other one who impressed a bit was Dubosky. He had a pretty good game. He played better than EC today. Good at finding the holes, good at hitting them hard, good at slipping through tackles. He just had a pretty good day overall, and I was impressed by him today. The other two who saw significant time were Yarnway and Manuel, and neither of them impressed. They never seemed to quite get it. It just seemed to be they could never find the rhythm or find the holes. You know, it was kind of in mop-up time by the time they were playing, but definitely not nearly as impressive as Dubosky was. So you can see why they are lower on the depth chart at this point. And Mike Manuel, who had such a good spring ball, definitely has not kept up the pace that he had. Some other players, Tavecchio, good to see him make all of his extra points today. It makes me feel like perhaps that problem is behind us, that he is now able to kick them more consistently on the grass. That was good to see. I just have no idea what was going on in the kickoffs, though. He missed so many kickoffs that, or had squibbed so many kickoffs that it was really, really frustrating. I don't know how much of that was intentional. I just am a little bit baffled in that situation. The wind was obviously affecting him, and he needed a holder a lot. He was kicking off of the dirt. I don't know how much that was an issue, but it just makes me very concerned. We cannot afford to have the kind of kicking we did today. It might have just been a coincidence. It might not have been. It's hard to tell. So, that for me, that was the most worrisome thing in the special teams, minus, of course, the blocked punt. But, I don't know. Something's going on there. Maybe it was coaching-induced, you know, that they asked him to send a lot of squib kicks down. They just didn't want that to be a component of the game. But I don't like that as a strategy. I'd prefer to play the game straight up and accept the hits as they come. But such is life. Spencer Hagan, you know, it was nice to see him moving through the offense today, but at the same time, he dropped a few key balls that were really trouble to me. He's just not there yet, in my opinion. He had that one great catch in the end zone, but then he also dropped a number, so that was pretty disappointing. Hopefully he'll work on his hands and making sure he gets the ball. And I guess I could comment on a number of other players, but I'll leave it at that. I think that's enough for now. So maybe looking forward, obviously we have Washington coming up next on the road. I think that is a really important game to set the tone for the rest of the season. We win that one. You know, it says we can compete with the middle of the conference and win those games. We've had a little trouble with Washington the last couple years. It'd be nice to get that monkey off our back. So I really think this next week is an important game. In my opinion, more important than the USC and Oregon games that follow. Because if we lose those, we can just say, well, we're not going to be at the top of the conference this year. But nobody was expecting that. We lose to Washington, and now it's, well, are we going to eke out bowl eligibility? And I'd much rather be in the position where we're looking at the upside, not the downside, in a week. So we'll see how that goes. And I have a lot of optimism, though. Washington has not looked all that good. I think the Cal offense is generating enough offense now that we should be able to, with the balance of a good defense, score points. It won't be like last year where we were relying on the defense to win that game for us against Washington, and they just couldn't quite do it in the end. This year we'll have some balance. We'll give the defense some time to rest. Doesn't feel like Washington's gotten any better this year on offense. So I have a lot of optimism. The team can go up to Washington and win and put us on the right track. I think that's going to wrap up this edition of the On the Road Home podcast. We're now across the Bay Bridge, making good progress back to Sacramento. So thanks for everyone for listening. I'm sure we'll have our normal midweek podcast with Jason and I. And go Bears. On the road again.